Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to part two.
Part two.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows how to quote this verse, "Judge not that you be not judged."
Right.
You know, yeah. We can quote that so good, but they forget to read the rest of that chapter because it doesn't tell you on judgment. It doesn't say that you shouldn't make a judgment call on people. What it says is don't take the law into your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be wise as serpents right. And harmless as doves. And we need to be wise in our decision making, especially in choosing our friends. It just makes an easy way to figure out how to choose
Very
friends.
Cool.
And your friends become one of your greatest assets in life.
Right. Exactly. And we do need assets. That's for sure.
We do.
Well,
I
am so excited about this sermon. And let's go in. Let's have some Cowboy Church. We hope that you really, really benefit from what Russ is going to talk about today.
Remember when you asked the Savior in, and the burden that was lifted when He took away your sin? Are you trusting and believing? Do you follow where He's leading? Look where you are today and where you've been. Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with your heart's a heart of fire? Can people see His light when you walk in? Or do they see the flicker of a candle in the wind? Do you have a heart for others? Are you lifting up your brother? Is the purpose of your life to shine for Him? Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with a desire to walk beside Him every single day? When you take Him at His word, then the flame inside will burn. Your heart's a heart of fire. Is your heart a heart of fire? Does it burn with a desire to walk beside Him every single day? When you take Him at His word, then the flame inside will burn. He will lift you high if your heart's a heart of fire.
I'd like to know who's been married more than 50 years here this morning. Whoa. Stand up. If you've been married more than 50 years, give them a hand clap. Okay, now I want you to sit down and I want to sing this to y'all. This is a love song for you. You know, Jesus is all into love, isn't He? Listen to me, there's something you should know. I was meant for you and you alone. Who I am and what I feel, no one else can have. You've got my heart and I won't take it back. So there it is. You have everything I have to give. And I promise you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay. Forever never fades away. I'm not going anywhere. So there, y'all holding hands? I can't help it. I know that you're the one. And my love is endless. It just goes on and on. And even if the world should end and life on earth were through, oh, even then I'd be loving you. So there you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay. Forever never fades away. I'm not going anywhere. So there. You know, your relationship with each other needs to be as solid as your relationship with God, because the two flow hand in hand down the road of life. Your spouse needs to know this.
You're there it is. You have everything I have to give. And I promise you, as long as I live, I'm here to stay.
The apostleship is the maturing part. The apostleship is becoming leaders and changing the world with the person that you see in the mirror. That's where I was. That's the first miraculous moral turnover. So then it goes from apostleship. It says, why do we have apostleship? For the obedience of faith among all nations. For the obedience of faith. What is obedience of faith? That's coming into confirmation with what God has planned for you. Say, wait a minute, didn't God make us righteous? Absolutely he did. He made us righteous, but I want you to just look around here really quick. How many of you, after you got saved, never committed another sin? So you have to deal in reality on this stuff. You have to deal in reality. The truth is, you've been made righteous by the power and grace of God, and now you have to learn to live as that righteous person through God's grace working in you more. It's not a one-time, oh, got it, put it on my card or my mirror. and say that I am now a Christian, we set it in there and we begin to work out our own salvation. We begin to work out to the point where we become apostles and world-changing people. I want, my goal for this church is that every single one of you, every single one of you, you tap in by the grace of God to this apostolic movement of God to where this great moral reform begins to happen in you and in your family and in your business and in your places of work and in your places of enjoyment and in your social circles. And in every place that you arrive, you begin to make a powerful difference for the kingdom of God. And a moral reform starts to happen because of you being you, the you that God intended you to be, not the you that you have messed up. So the first thing that happens is this. We start working through chapter 1. We get to verse 10, and it says, making a request, if by means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So how does that got to do with this? Paul is talking about one thing and one thing alone. The mission that God has designed for his life. And Paul's heart and Paul's mind and Paul's effort is leading him. He wants to get to Rome. And if you look at how many times he tried to get to Rome every way he could, and he kept getting sidetracked to this community over here who needed somebody to be a witness. But it didn't stop him. He just kept going and going and going until finally he made it to Rome, and in Rome he began to write what we know as most of the New Testament. This is kind of it's difficult to explain. Some people are really talented. You know, some people that they're just so talented. They're so talented at something they get bored with it. And so they don't ever have to work at it. And I think that God puts in our hearts sometimes some things that we're not very good at it that we are driven towards so we can learn to put some effort into our lives. And when we can put effort into our lives, then we realize that those gifts and giftings that God give us are to be worked out by our efforts and perfected by our efforts. And if he can do it for the things that you're not very good at it, how much more can he do with the things you are gifted at? But you'll never know it if you don't run into something that takes a lot of work to achieve. Man, I always wanted to be a great roper, and I ended up doing okay considering the lack of talent that I really have. But what I learned from that is this, is a couple of things. Number one, that God used that desire in me as long as I kept it in his, under him, priorities. Because sometimes that kind of thing kind of sneaks out of the priorities and becomes priorities where it shouldn't. And I'd like to tell you that never happened with me, but occasionally it did. But as long as I kept it under his priority, some things happened in that. Number one is I ended up doing about as much as my talent would allow me. But the best thing it did, it developed in me a work ethic that I wouldn't have had if I had just done the things that I was good at. But now, when I do the things that I'm good at, I have no excuse but to try to perfect it in the same diligence that I had for the things that didn't work. Here's the other thing. If I hadn't had that desire to rope, the doors that I've had for ministry would have never been opened. And because of the desire and the effort, then those doors open. So the first thing that I notice out of Paul in this, he said, I make a request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. What he's looking at is he's willing to put in the work. He's willing to travel the miles. He's willing to do the study and to give the teaching. He wants to do exactly what needs to be done there because he's not afraid of a little hard work. A little hard work is good for you. Say, well, you can't get to heaven on works. No. I can tell you that, but without works, you can sure end up in hell. It takes effort to become a person that's involved in the apostolic movement. In the moral movement, it takes people who are not afraid to do the work. It takes people who are not afraid to roll up their sleeves and put effort into this thing. Second one, I'm going to hurry here. We have some other things to do. Second thing is that in verse 11, it says, "For I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gifts so that you may be established." For I long to see you that I may impart you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. See, in order for us to be in this apostolic movement, we have to be people who are established. We can't be blown about on every wave of doctrine. Everything that comes up, we can't go, "Oh, I like that. I got to have a taste of that. I got to this." You know, we need to be established in who we are, where we fit, and putting the time in to make it work the best so that we can be effective. Is that just for the preachers?
No.
Maybe established. You know why Paul is saying this? Is because he wants the people that are hearing the message to be the ones who are established. Well, let's go on down. Verse 17 kind of begins to wrap this up. This is kind of a foundation for understanding the book of Romans. The first of all, you have to have grace. And the second thing, it takes a little effort. And then God wants you to be established. And then here is how we become established. In verse 17, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Before you can ever become righteous, you have to understand what righteousness is. There has to be a revelation of righteousness. And guys, here's a truth that you need to understand. There are some basics to righteousness. There are some basics for everybody. But then there's the working out, and what is righteous for you may not be righteous for me. What is righteous for me may not be righteous for you. And the reason for that is because we have different areas. See, my priorities might be different than your priorities. It doesn't make you or me more righteous because we have a different set of priorities. Other than God has to be first. God may be working on me to take me to the left. He may be working with the same signals to take you to the right. But it's by faith to faith that God uses to establish our apostolic relationship with him, world-changing people. How do you think Fosbury felt the first time he figured out how to jump over that thing backwards? What do you think his friend said about that? How in the world did he come up with that? Whoever thought about getting off the right-hand side of a horse when the horse is going that fast for the very first time? It just sounds crazy to me. But now we see it. Everybody, guys, I believe that in the day that we live in, I believe that there are people within the sound of my voice right now who God is going to give you some of the most profound methods for reaching people and for ministering to people and for changing the world. And it's going to be something that you and nobody else has ever thought possible. The apostolic guy is the one who goes to his knees and gets on his knees, and when he's down there, he says, "What in the world is that? How in the world are you going to do this?" Man, I believe that we serve the greatest creative force that's ever existed. It's God the Father. He created the heavens and the earth, and he can make and create something that is so close to somebody else but so completely new that he can use it for his glory, and it will set up this great revolution, a moral reform in the world. You guys, we need people who understand how to hear from God. And this is how it happens. It moves from faith to faith. So how can it move from faith to faith? Aren't you just supposed to have faith and just stay solid in your faith? Here's the faith to faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God. I am praying in hope until I hear what God's answer is. I've got to pray through until I hear what God says is going to happen, or what God says that I need to do to resolve this matter. How many of you have ever been praying and all of a sudden God gave you a thought like, oh, yeah, that's a word of faith. Now you operate in that word of faith, and what you have to do is you have to learn how to hear that voice again. Here's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, I'm going to show you the worst thing in the world. It's somebody who thinks they've heard from God and because of that, they're not going to listen to anybody else about what they've heard. Now, there's a time for part of that. But I'm going to tell you, here's the part that you don't want. This is it. I'm always a little leery. And I can say this here. I don't think there's anybody here that has ever done this to me. So I'm always a little leery when a person comes up to me and their eyes kind of, and they have this wrinkle in their forehead and they, you know, brother, I just think that I have a word for you. Now, if they have a word for me, that's cool. I'm cool with it. But there is a little spirit feeling when it's phony. When somebody's trying to be, you know what I mean? And he just said, maybe just preach. But guys, I want to tell you how to hear from God. When you think it's God, you find somebody that's reliable and humble yourself before them and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? See, it's humility then. And what will happen is the saints of God will help you understand which voice it is in your head is God's voice and which ones are the ones who are trying to deceive you, because sometimes they sound alike. And if we're not humble, we're going to be running down bunny trails on our own. And we have within this fellowship people who understand the Bible and the Word of God who can help you understand the voice of God. So when you think you hear from God, go talk to one of them. We've got prayer partners on the walls every Sunday. Go talk to them. Say, hey, I think I've heard from God. What do you think? And they know scriptures. They'll go, well, here's a scripture for this. Here's a scripture for that. And they will begin to pray with you about what you... And the Bible says, test the spirits to see if they be of God. And when you begin to test those spirits, you begin to understand what God's voice sounds like. And then you can trust it. And the Bible says that we want to move, the just shall live by faith. There is revealed from faith to faith. What that means is from one faith experience, standing on it and following through and you understanding that's the voice of God. And then it happening again and happening again and happening again and happening again and happen. It's not long until you're walking in faith on a daily basis. God's always talking. And what God wants us to know that he wants to be personally involved in our life. And it isn't about just the first time we pray that prayer, oh God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. It's about working out and walking through this walk with him to where we become mature enough where the apostolic ministry begins to reform the world because of your walk with God and you reforming your own life through the power of God given to you.